Bishus. The success of this turnout has made me the happiest and the tiredest person in New York. Engaged? Okay. Hoschem b'chvod achsanya. Extend our heartfelt thanks to Yilk. It's very devoted and friendly office staff. And of course to the renowned Mar Da'asra of Yaakov, Rabbi Trump, who regrettably could not be with us this evening. My gratitude to those who entered the trenches with me and helped me get this off the ground, making this a Knesset L'Shem Shemayim. I wanted to not acknowledge all of them, but Dunai Rabosai, Kirabim Hendi Yashar Lefortam. And yet, we acknowledge Rabbi Yosef Kalinsky from Yeshiva University and Rabbi Ozzie Fine from Stern College. Did you ever notice Rabbi Fine is the perfect palindrome? Rabbi Fine, fine rabbi. And I notably acknowledge Aryeh Katz, who the general of tonight, my horse tranquilizer, Ilan Frankel, Judith Wechter. May you all be zoche to always be oisek in mitzvahs. One general thanks to all the Hakotel Chevra who really helped me out. Thank you so much. Okay, we've all gathered for an extraordinarily important event. To call it life-changing would be criminal levels of understatement. It's not lost on any of us that tonight is Matzoi Shabbos Brachos. We're looking towards a new beginning, and with all the positive connotations. Blue eyes. You guys are a little young for that. Frank Sinatra has a song whose lyrics go like this. And I did it my way. There's never been more moronic and basilic, idiotic lyrics than I did it my way. You want to be a doctor and you decide you're not going to go to medical school, you will have malpractice from here till tomorrow. You get subpoenaed to court and you decide not to hire a lawyer, you'll leave the courtroom in handcuffs. Your car gets stopped in the middle of the road, in the middle of the winter. What are you going to do? Open the hood and start tinkering? I don't know a different thing, a carburetor and a respirator. You inherit a little money and you want to make money out of your money. What are you going to do? Open up the stock pages and throw darts at the Wall Street Journal at the stock pages? I don't know the difference between AT&T and IT&T. And I did it my way. That's not the way to do things. What we have to do is, you have to do things with proper guidance and direction. We're going to make important and fatalistic decisions. Gosh. The only way to do it sagaciously, derech haTorah, is by taking advice from Einei HaEda. So I get to now to introduce Moreno, as I call him, Rabbi Leibowitz. And this presents me with conflicting emotions. Usually conflicting emotions conjures your mother-in-law going over a cliff in your new car. I have a more contemporaneous example. I was flying from Chicago to New York, and sitting directly in front of me was Herschel Schechter. Now, who wouldn't give the right arm to have an hour and a half with Rav Schechter uninterrupted? But he was reading my book. He was reading my book on Rav Nosson Tzvi, and that was conflicting emotions. I couldn't interrupt him because he was reading my book. So I have conflicting emotions. That's why I publicly acknowledge how much Torah and Chochmah and Halacha Moreno has imparted to me. Or do I spare from humiliation from extolling him in public? Now this is seemingly a no-brainer. Why cause someone discomfort? But as Moreno says all the time, even in today's daf, last cycle, no less than three times, wait a second. There's a lesson here. And the lesson is that Moreno's favorite domain is Limud HaTorah. That's what he's passionate to promote. V'haraya, I must have attended somewhere between 50 and 60 daf yomis all across the world. In every shir bar none, when the shir is over, the Magid shir drops his voice or stops or closes the Gemara. And yet, Rabbi Leibowitz He can't do it. He just can't do it. So he always says, tomorrow, Mr. Shem, will start the next Mishnah. Duh. I mean, Daf Yomi means you pick off where you left off. But he just can't break himself to stop. He wants to always continue, and it's so hard for him to curtail. He can't do just stop. Okay, so since the craving is Mikra Torah, wait a second here. The limit is that if he wants to promote Limud Torah and he's taking off time tonight to give us Hadracha, that means we should learn a lesson. The take-home message is how much we have to be willing to sacrifice, or perhaps better put, be willing to contribute on behalf of others if it can be impactful and useful. So, my Rabosai, cherished colleagues, brothers and sisters, it's new code of Torah.
Hey, thank you very much. First of all, thank you all for coming this evening. And thank you mostly to Rav Teller for putting together and working so hard on putting together such a, what hopefully will be a very nice program and something that will hopefully be impactful. I'm sure I'm looking forward to hearing what Rabbi Feiner has to say. So even if you have to listen to me for a little bit to get to that point, it will be well worth your while, I think. But Rabbi Teller has worked so hard to make this event a reality, and generally speaking, I have a klal when it comes to shiduchim that the bigger the tzaddikim that are involved in the shidduch, the better chance of success, because shiduchim are min hashamayim, and that explains a lot of Rav Teller's success in shiduchim, that it has more to do with the zechuyos and the tzidkus of the people who are involved than often it has to do with other factors. But let me discuss for a moment what we are not going to discuss tonight. I am not here to solve the shidduch crisis. That is not something that I am capable of doing. It's not something that people who are much smarter than me are capable of doing. And frankly, it is largely a math problem. And many of the problems that we see, whether it's a sense of entitlement and guys with lists that are a mile long, are an outgrowth of what is an essential math problem that I'm not here to solve. However, while on a communal level, what we call the shidduch crisis is a difficult problem to solve communally, on a personal level, we all need to daven, and we all need to understand that as individuals, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can find a proper shidduch for us and someone that we could be matzliach with, regardless of what our situation is, regardless of where we're coming from, regardless of what our past experiences are, what our past experiences have been. We can all find somebody with whom to live a long, prosperous, productive life of Avodas Hashem, a true life's partner, and we need to daven for it. We need to daven that we find somebody who will bring out the best in us. We need to daven that we're successful in building a happy home, and we need to daven for the wisdom to make the right decisions. Tonight, I would like to frame the discussion around the following topic. There is a book that was subsequently made into a movie. I did not read the book, nor did I see the movie, but I was told about it, called Moneyball. I imagine people on my right probably a little more familiar than the people on my left. But the idea, as it was, I never read the book. It was about how Billy Beane built a winning team, I think that's his name, built a winning team in Oakland, California with the lowest budget of any team in baseball. And the way it was described to me is that there are two yesodos of the book. The first yesod is data analytics. He collected data on everything and allowed all of the decisions he made to be driven by data. No gut feeling, no this is what I feel is right. Everything driven by data. I do not think what the shidduch world needs is more data. I don't think that that's the issue. But then there's a second yesod in the book, and this, I think, is extremely valuable for our topic. The second yesod, again, as it was described to me, is what he tried to do is he tried to find categories that people were largely ignoring, finding what is valuable that nobody is looking for. Meaning, it's obviously valuable to hit home runs. Everybody knows that if you know anything about baseball. And therefore, if you see someone that hits a bunch of them, he must be valuable. Less known at the time was that on-base percentage was really, really valuable. No one ever paid attention to that. But it turns out that that was really valuable. So I think when navigating, that's the end of the baseball references, so okay. When navigating the dating process, I think we often ask about and look for certain things that are indeed valuable. And there's no denying them. Midos and chemistry, a nice family and intelligence and attraction, all of these things are indeed valuable. But there must be other things that are also valuable that maybe we're not paying as much attention to, that maybe require a little bit more of tuning in and focusing to see if certain qualities that will make for a great life's partner are things that maybe we're just not even thinking about. So what I'm suggesting is that there are probably many important factors that people aren't taking into account nearly enough, and I'd like to suggest a few such factors. You know, this is similar to what the Sefer Chassidim writes about the importance of learning parts of Torah that are not commonly learned. That he calls it like a meis mitzvah. So the meis mitzvah in Shiduchim are the parts of a person that we're not attuned to and that we're not paying attention to. And the idea behind this is that the yisod of all of this is that people are complex. You know, we are created b'tzelem elokim. And we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a kel nistater, he's a kel elyon, he's completely beyond our comprehension because of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's depth and complexity and kedusha. So lahavdil, people are also, b'tzelem elokim, extremely complex. When we narrow down an assessment of a person to two or three or four or five factors, of how the shidduch will be, we're probably missing 98% of the person. Nobody hits on all factors, but we need to get a full picture to determine compatibility and whether we can have a happy life with that person. I can't tell you how many times a Talmud has walked into my office and has said, Rebbe, I'm dating a girl, but can I marry a girl who, and he's about to mention one thing, and I stop him right there. Whatever data you're about to give me is not nearly enough. A person is made up of thousands, millions of factors. Can you marry a girl who, whatever you're gonna fill in, well, what about the rest of her? What about the rest of your relationship? What about everything else? Now, what I'm not trying to give more boxes to check. I don't think that is necessarily healthy either. Just trying to give a certain perspective of how to look at more factors when determining who our life's partner should be. So the first and foremost, I'm going to start with one that I was talking to my daughter-in-law earlier this evening about. With these kinds of talks, I'm not very good at them, so I try to crowdsource. I go to my friends and family and say, "Nu, what do you think?" So my kids are totally useless, but my daughter-in-law is amazing at this. So she suggested that maybe one of the factors that people don't take into account enough, and she said dealing with shadchanim, you hear this not dealt with enough, and that is just the ability to be happy together. What I heard Rav Daniel Kalish describe as silent compatibility, I thought that was a very nice turn of phrase. Silent compatibility, meaning, you ever on an elevator with someone you kind of know but don't really know, and aren't sure, like, should you start a conversation, should you not start a conversation? The elevator ride might be 20 seconds, 30 seconds, it will feel like it's an hour. It is painful and it's awkward. Or someone says, can you give a ride home to this person from the mountains? And it's going to be like 3 hours of the person pretending to be on their headphones because they're not really sure like how to pass the time when they're not comfortable with you. When a person could be comfortable in the presence of another person, not even when you're talking, just being together, it's a factor that's not thought about enough, and ultimately that has to develop in a relationship. You know, not everything is always going to be a tachlis-oriented conversation for the rest of your life. If all you have is tachlis-oriented conversations, you must have a very stressful life. There'll be a lot of times where you're just sitting around and you just want to feel comfortable, not on edge, that you're just in a happy place because you're with this person. And if a person starts to feel that developing, that's something to look for. Silent compatibility. Another thing to look for, and again, this is not a shear, so I'm just giving ideas. The ability to roll with the punches. You know, if everything becomes a huge ordeal to a person, life will be very difficult and very stressful. many young people never had to take any punches and are still so fragile, still have trouble with every bump in the road. And when actual bumps in the road, when real life's challenges come, then it can get really ugly. So how do we deal when there are challenging things? Do we get focused and step up when challenges come? Or do we completely lose it when faced with challenges? It's hard to tell in the dating process a lot of times how a person will deal with setbacks if there hadn't been setbacks. But almost always, between dating and engagement, I believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made engagement such a stressful time where we have a clear record of people, adults, who are parents of kids in Shiduchim, who are the finest, kindest, best people in the world, who for a few months of their life go out of their minds so that people can deal with the stress and see how they deal with stress. And the way that we deal with stress is very often an indicator of the way that we're going to deal with stress. Now, I want to be very clear. None of the things that I'm talking about are things that are a psul, meaning that was the premise of the whole conversation. There is no one factor that's a psul, that you say, oh, if that person can't deal with stress, then they should never get married. Now, everyone should get married. You have to have the right kind of personality to deal with the person who has trouble dealing with stress, but you have to know that about yourself also. What number are we up to? Three? Third one. Somebody who can cope well and doesn't give up easily. Someone who fights hard, who works hard. Working through the inevitable bumps in the road. You know, we daven that we shouldn't be brought lidei nisayon, but nisayon ultimately makes us. In the course of normal life, a person experiences setbacks and challenges. For a person to be productive and successful, it's critical that we don't become crushed by our setbacks, to be resilient and to grow from our troubles. So not only not to lose it, which was number two, but number three, to learn how to grow from our troubles, to learn how to grow from the more difficult times. You know, Eretz Yisrael is referred to as the Eretz HaTzvi. Chazal tell us, because just as a deer's skin seems to expand in order to contain its muscles and its flesh, so too Eretz Yisrael expands to contain Klal Yisrael. There's room for every Jew in Eretz Yisrael. However, an additional element of Eretz HaTzvi might be that the letters of the word Tzvi are the Rashi Tevos, Tzadik be'emunaso yichya. The gematria of Tzvi is 102, which is the gematria of Emuna. A deer is a very, very fast animal. Rutz katzvi. But when it's about to take off, it rears back a bit. And only then it takes off. Emuna is measured by what happens after a person has something that pushes them back a little bit. When they have to rear back a little bit. What happens next? If they take off like a shot, Ratz Ketzvi, that's Emunah. That's Tzadik Ve'Emunaso Yichya. A fourth element, the ability to be a team player, to collaborate, to give and take, to be flexible, to be willing to compromise, to be Mevater. You know, the Torah is Kol Nesivo Seh HaShalom. And Kol Nesivo Seh HaShalom means that all paths of Torah are meant to lead to a sense of Shalom. And a sense of shalom is never a my way or the highway. It's never, but I'm right. Even if, I always tell young men that, you know, you are a well-trained yeshiva bacher, which means you spent hours in the Beis Medrash working on how to present logical arguments, which means that if you get into a disagreement with your kala or your wife or the girl you're dating, you'll be able to bring 5, 10 rayas she'ina leyam tshuva, clear, glut rayas, that you're right, and she won't have an answer, and then she'll be sad, which means you lost. Because flexibility, the ability to hear the other side, and it's an amazing thing when a person knows how to communicate, and a person knows how to actually listen to what somebody else is saying, not the kind of listening where you're just preparing your response, but to actually listen to what the other person is saying, and you really respect the other person, you'll find over time that very often you'll start believing their opinion, they'll start believing your opinion. I'll tell you a beautiful story. We used to go to the OU office on Fridays to sit with Rav Shechter, and Rav Shechter would pass in all of the shailas that came up that week in the OU and throughout the world, and he told us that there was one particular issue that had come up, that 20 years ago had come up, 20 years earlier had come up as well. And at the time, he wrote a tshuva, and Rav Belsky, Zichrono Livracha, wrote a tshuva, and they disagreed with each other, which is fair. Big Talmid Chacham are allowed to disagree. They disagreed with each other. They had forgotten the issue had come up 20 years earlier. Then it came up again 20 years later. And again they disagreed with each other. And Rav Shechter wrote another tshuva, and Rav Belsky wrote another tshuva. But this time, Rav Shechter wrote what was previously Rav Belsky's opinion. And Rav Belsky wrote what was previously Rav Shechter's opinion. Rav Shechter said, we were so convinced by the other one's argument. Because when you're really listening, you can actually be convinced. You can actually hear what someone else has to say. What number are we up to? Keep losing it. Okay, whatever, the next number. Once we're talking about communication, I think it's important to realize that everyone, my Talmidim pointed out, everyone talks about communication. Everyone likes to say how valuable and how important communication is. When my wife started teaching Kalas, she said after her first Kala class, is it strange that I feel like I just spent the last 2 hours saying the word communication over and over and over and over again? I said, no, that sounds about right. That sounds like what you should be doing. So we do talk a lot about communication, but we get very little in terms of how to look for communication skills. You know, if a person is not able to articulate goals, one of my Talmidim pointed out, and values, like, I want to be better, I want to be closer to God, that doesn't really mean anything. I want to help people. But like, what specifically are your goals? Can you share that with me? Can you communicate that with me? Can you articulate that? I have a Talmud who's a very, very intelligent person. And he was going out with a girl recently, and he said he was struggling because everything she said just seemed to be platitudes. There didn't seem to be like any nuance and depth and detail. And that's part of communication also, to be able to share in a way that's meaningful. We're running out of time. Another element is the ability to put others' needs before your own. And this sometimes, again, many of these things are hard to tell when dating, and that's why you really got to daven a lot, that you're not missing something. But the ability to put someone else's needs before your own can often be measured by just trying to take stock of, like, again, to use a sports muscle, I'm sorry, I taught high school boys for 18 years. In football, there's something called time of possession. You know, they measure, like, the Jets had the ball, well, typically in a 60-minute game, for 18 minutes, and the other team had the ball for 42 minutes. And, like, it's an indicator of, like, you know, where the power is. Who carried the conversation? Who did the conversation revolve around? A person sometimes will meet someone, and they'll be so impressed. He was so impressive. He's great. You know how I know? Because he spent 3 hours telling me how great he is. About all of his accomplishments and how brilliant he is and how what a Talmud Chacham he is. And if a person just takes a step back and thinks, well, if they were talking about themselves the whole time, how eager are they to hear about my aspirations, my joys, my frustrations? People are sometimes very impressive, but we have to think about how selfless people are. You know, I once had Maisa Shahaya. I couldn't believe this happened when it happened. True story. A guy called me out to find out about a young man for his daughter who was dating, who was in Shiduchin. And this fellow is an extremely successful, right? Successful means rich, an extremely successful person. And he's also a big Talmud Chacham. So he's an actually successful person. He's extremely successful in all areas. And like the kind of family that, you know, they could have their pick, you would imagine. And he called me up to find out about a young man from the Five Towns. Apparently he didn't know. He said, I don't know anyone in the Five Towns besides for you, which is like, how successful can you really be? but he called to find out about a young man in the Five Towns. I didn't know the guy. I said, but I'm sure I know his rebbeim. He told me what yeshiva he went to. I'm happy to find out for you. So I said, what questions do you want me to ask, though, when I find out? I said, you want me to ask, you know, how from the family is, you know, what the siblings are up to. I don't know. What do you want me to ask about? He said, the truth is, I had enough of that already. Just find out if he's going to be nice to my daughter. That's what he said. So I called up the Rebbe of the young man, and the Rebbe started saying, he's brilliant, Harvard Law School, and this and that. And he started, and he knows how to learn, and he started like singing his praises. I said, you know what? It's all great. The guy just really wanted to know, is he going to be nice to his daughter? And the Rebbe said, no, he won't. And that was the end of it. Sometimes just to know what kind of person is he? Is he going to be a selfless person? Is she going to be a selfless person? And part of that relates to how we respond to criticism, to constructive criticism, and how we give constructive criticism. Do we do it in a loving way, in a respectful way, where we don't make the other person feel that they're being attacked? We make the other person feel that they're being supported, and that we're trying to help in a loving way. It's not an easy thing to pull off, but it's something that's very important. And let me just mention one last thing before I close. And that is, one of my Talmidim suggested I mention this, I think it's an important one. Being aligned with spending habits and financial expectations is pretty undervalued. I'm not saying it's the only factor, the most important factor, but it's pretty undervalued. When you go through the top stresses in marriage, you will have, in-law issues and financial issues. Finances are either number one or number two, usually, in top stresses that people have in marriage. And if the expectations are totally off of what's considered to be a normal life, you know, the Shulchan in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Mishkan, the way the Torah describes, the Shulchan had some of the measures were half measures and some of the measures were whole measures. And the Shulchan is representative of the physical needs and pleasures that people have. Harotza l'ha'ashir yatzpin, a person who wants to become wealthy faces the north because the Shulchan is b'tzafon. The Shulchan represents material success. Since Harotza l'ha'achkim yadrim, you want to become a chacham, you face the south. Rabbi Bilit Shlita used to always remind me of that when I moved to Northwood Mir. When it comes to material wealth, to borrow the Brisker terminology, there are tzvei dinim. First, there's the attitude toward wealth that we've already achieved, and then there's the aspiration for more. So when it comes to our view of what we've already been given by Hashem, the approach should be like Yaakov Avinu, Yesh Li Kol. We have everything in full measure, everything that we need. When it comes to aspirations, the attitude is different. We don't aspire for everything to be the very best, for top shelf in every regard. The truth is that if one aspires for everything, he'll never achieve it anyway. Mishiyesh lamana rotza masayim, it's a fact of life that we always want more. So the ability to have reasonable financial expectations, or at least compatible financial expectations, sometimes is an undervalued factor. So just to conclude, I just want to point out, again, I heard this from this last piece from Daniel Kalish, and I think it was a very beautiful point. The Jewish belief in love is very different than secular belief, almost diametrically opposed, and what it means to fall in love. They say someone once asked Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, what does bashert mean? And he said, I think they call that in English falling in love. But what he meant by that is not what you see in Western society. Rav Daniel Kalish pointed out that we, and you have to like absorb this line, it's such a brilliant line, we are producers of love, whereas Western civilization are reporters of love. Meaning, love means that we found somebody worth committing to, and that we're willing to work hard and fully commit to that person to create more love, a deeper love, a more serious love. She'er k'sus va'ona means I am committed to you. That once I've made that decision, I have committed to work through everything to be able to generate a greater sense of love. It's not what Western civilization refers to as a description of a feeling that I have. I feel good, and therefore you make me feel good, so I'm describing that as love. And when I don't feel as good, or you don't make me feel as good, because you're in a bad mood, or I'm in a bad mood, or you don't look as good today, well then, I fell out of love. That is not the Jewish belief. And therefore, it's always, always going to require hard work. And I just want to make one last point, and that is that many of these things, many of these undervalued, these moneyball kind of factors that maybe we don't look at enough, many of them can be taught. Many of them can be taught. People aren't always going to be the way that they are. But what often can't be taught is the willingness to be taught. What often can't be taught is the willingness to be flexible and to change. And I strongly recommend, could not recommend enough, that every engaged couple should go for premarital workshops. There are people that do it all over the country now that teach you basic skills. What are you going to do when this happens? How do you communicate a particular frustration? Just basic marriage skills. I told a Talmud of mine that when we were doing chassan classes, that I strongly recommend. I tell all the chassan, I strongly recommend it. Can't force you to do anything. I'm not going to refuse to be your Messiah if you don't do it, although maybe I should. But I strongly recommend it. And the Talmud came back to me a week or two later, and he said, Rebbe, when you told me that, what was going through my head was, there is no way on God's green earth that I am going to do that. I'm not going to therapist. I'm not doing that. But then I spoke to my colleague, and she said, I have to. So, and he said, after that first session, I never felt closer with her than after that first session. If nothing else, other than the fact that we both made a statement to each other by going together, that we are willing to work on this together, that this is valuable enough to work on together. That alone, even if it's the worst therapist in the world, not that I recommend going to the worst therapist in the world, pick good ones, but that alone, that statement that we're in this together, that we have the Jewish conception of love, that we're committed and we're going to make it great. And people can pick up tremendous skills in that way. And my Birchas Hedyot to everybody here, everybody not here, is that everyone in Klal Yisrael who's looking for a shidduch should find the shidduch that is most appropriate for them, where they're most compatible and most capable of working together to make great marriages, great families that are going to impact Klal Yisrael in a positive way for many, many decades to come.
That solves that problem. Thank you so much, Rebbe. That was... Wow, I have no words. Okay, I'm going to introduce Rav Eitan Feiner. Rabbi Feiner seems to follow always a very predictable pattern. He always starts off oozing with graciousness and charm. And once he has us in his spell, then he ratchets up the velocity about 300-fold and starts unspooling staccato every source you've ever heard or never heard. And then he tells you where it is on the page, just in case you wanted to look up those 427 sources. And you sit there, or at least I sit there, like observing the three-handed Monty, if you're not familiar with that. I think that's after the fourth inning in Yankee Stadium, the ball under the hat. But with Refiner, instead of a sleight of hand, it's a stretch of the brain. When he finishes, he ties everything together in a neat ribbon. We remain breathless, slack-jawed, agog at Twitter. So, ladies and gentlemen, to the cover of the Torah.
Gutavach, Gesundavach, Shavua Tov. What a tremendous and special schus to come and share with you what I thought might be a shir, but Rabbi Teller Shlita warned me, Rabbi Feiner, no shir tonight. I was thinking it's such a long Motzei Shabbos, the time is opportune. Everybody's wide awake, they had their Shabbos afternoon nap, but he said, no, the only one's Hadracha. So I have to say, when I heard that, and not only Rabbi Teller, and I remember years ago introducing Rabbi Teller Shlita in the White Shul. I know many of you grew up, as did I, with the magic show Pen and Teller. I said, this is one Teller. He does his magic with his pen. And then I saw this unbelievable shidduch and ishidduch. And I said, not only does he do his magic with his pen, but now with the video and the screen and media, really an unbelievable hamashpia in so many ways. Hashem Yisbaruch should give him his eishes chayo, kochas atzumah, sein baruchnias, sein begashmias, Yisbaruch hucham yishamayim, kiflei kiflayim, b'zeo b'bah, hamet Hashem for many happy, healthy, geshmaka, inspiring years ahead, hamet Hashem. And then I heard from Rabbi Teller that we had the schus of Rabbi Leibowitz Shlita. You did it, Ne'amon, Hanitzmon, Bekiris Levavi, someone who's an unbelievable mashpi in town. And the first thought I had was, thank God it's Rabbi Leibowitz. You see, years ago I was invited to speak in a Aguda convention, and they invited a Rabbi Viner from Muncie together with Rabbi Feiner from Farakwe. And they advertised Rabbi Viner speaking on Sholem Bayis at the Aguda convention. And I can't tell you how many calls I was inundated, I was bombarded. So Rabbi Feiner, are you speaking, or did they make a mistake? I said, Rabbi Viner. They couldn't figure it out, even at the convention themselves. People themselves, they were wondering, is it Viner, Feiner? I said, Leibowitz, Feiner, Baruch Hashem, no one's going to make any mistakes. Hagevaldik, but I think that's an appropriate segue. See, Rabbi Viner and I did have a moment to touch base right before we commenced speaking, and we said, Sholem Bayis, what's the first thing that comes to your mind when you want to give an Eitzel, when you want to give some humble Hadracha offer to the Tzibur? And the very first thing that Rabbi Viner mentioned was the same thought at the forefront of my mind as well. And that is, you have to have a Rebbe. You have to have a Rav. When it comes to Sholem Bayis Befrat, and certainly it extends to dating as well, yes, some people might opt for a dating coach, and that's fine. In many circumstances, a dating coach, a life coach, whatever the case might be, but Acharei Kechlos HaKol, when all is said and done, how crucial, how integral it is that everybody in every life situation, every Rav needs a Rav. People don't know, my own Rebbe is really running the white show behind the scenes. Any dilemma, any quandary, I always directed to my own Rebbe. Why? Because you need someone you trust. You need someone that you respect, that you revere, whether it's male or female, whether it's a Rav, a Mora Derech, a Mora, but someone that you respect, someone that you trust implicitly. And someone at the same time is completely neutral and objective. So yes, seek advice from parents. If you have a wonderful relationship, 100%, I remember coming back from the second date with my wife, Baruch Hashem, and my Rebbetzin Aviva. I came the second date. I had maybe some questions, even though she tells me the stories. I didn't have any questions at all, but she's not here, so I'm okay for the time being until she hears the recording. But I came back after the second date. I sat with my father in the study, and I said, Dad, everything is great. She's fantastic. X, Y, Z, A, B, C, all check, check, check. You know, I just have this one question. He says, hey, don't stop talking. I could see it already in your face. I know you. This is the one just proposed to her already. I said, whoa. Dad, but he was right. He was right. Yeah, I could have proposed in the second date. She probably would have thought that I was nuts. So to preserve my sense of normalcy, I waited a little bit. If you have a great relationship with your parents, absolutely, speak to them as well. But with that said, you must have a Rav. You must have a Rebbe. Someone who could guide you, someone who has experience in guiding and being madrich accordingly. But again, someone that you respect, that you can open up to, that you feel safe with. And again, whether it's male or female, depending on a number of variables, but have that person that you trust. And it's crucial not only when it comes to dating, of course, but as we discussed at that Aguda convention years back, it's got to be something that your mamshich miter, that you extend onward through marriage. You know you have that anchor, you have that person in your back pocket. You can always ask, you can always call up. My wife still has a Rebbetzin from her year, seminary year in Bados Chava. And today, we're talking about decades later, she's still checking in periodically with this Rebbetzin. I have a Rebbe, I was zochet to learn by Mori Varami, Agon Ratzi Berkowitz Shlita, close to 5 years in Israel. Yes, he's running the white show behind the scenes, but in the end of the day, he's playing such a crucial, pivotal role in our personal life. And I send him questions, yes, 12 o'clock at night, sometimes 1 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock in the morning. Hey, people could call me at 2 o'clock in the morning. Right? Maybe I could call him at 2, 2:30. If somebody once called me at 2:30 in the morning, they said, Rabbi, are you up? I said, well, now I am. I was up, Baruch Hashem, I was up at the time. I said, is it an emergency? He said, 2:30 in the morning. No, Rabbi, I couldn't sleep. I figured you're probably up, so I need someone to schmooze with now. True story. almost beats the one that I gave a shiur one time. And I said, Rabbi Sai, I love Torah so much. If you have a geshmak of art, you can call me any time of day or night. Really? And that includes everybody here. You can call me any time of the bar. 3 nights later, I get a call, 4:15 a.m. from a local mechanic, believe it or not. I said, Rabbi so-and-so, you have an issue with the emergency. Rabbi, I was up early. I saw such a geshmak of art. I said, Rabbi Feiner loves a good bar. I got to share it with you. I said, I probably could have waited a couple of hours. 4:15 in the morning. I know my phone's going to be ringing tonight. I'm going to blame Rabbi Teller for this one. But at the end of the day, you got to have that person you know you can call anytime. And now just through the course of dating, it's going to continue. Shalom bayis, he has questions come up, dilemmas, quandaries, they always surface. And you got to have that person in your back pocket that you know you can call pretty much 24/7, 365. You know they've got your, they will listen to you. They will give you the time of day. I still remember I had somebody in my shul years ago. They traveled to Yerushalayim and they were renting an apartment. And when you're in the apartment, you know, you don't go into the person's medicine cabinet. Then you got to stay away from it. Anything that's open, that's fair territory. So they had one of these brochures, one of these directories, and they told you all the gemachim, everything that was going on in that community. So it was right on the table. They took it out. They're finding out about everything going on in the community, and they had a listing at the back of all the myriad gemachs that were taking place in that general community. So the person was fascinated. They started going down the list, gemach after gemach, Klai Yisrael, Mamish the best, and Hibzatzari Chesed, what's going to get us the Mashiach, Torah, Gemilis, Chasodit, unbelievable Chesed, gemach after gemach, and finally this person comes across the gemach, and it said this is an ear gemach. So curiosity got the better of him. He said, what in the world is an ear gemach? So he thought, you know, what's, you know, hearing aid, maybe the person made a mistake, Hebrew to English, maybe there was some error that took place in the interim. In the end, he's out of curiosity, calls up, and a woman answers the phone call, and she says, yes, I can help me. I said, well, you have a listing for an ear gemach, so how do I get an ear? Says, I'll tell you the truth. She says, I love Klal Yisrael. I love the Jewish people, and unfortunately, I don't have that much money, so I can't start a gemach of wedding gowns. I can't start one of children's babies' bottles and babies' blankets. But I figured, you know what? It doesn't cost me anything. Anyone who wants to call me, I will give you my ear. And I will listen to you at any time of day. You can call me and I'll hear you out. Gevaldik. But you don't have to call the rabbi because you will have had that rav, that rebbitzin, that rebbe, that person in your corner who you revere, who knows you personally, with whom you've felt comfortable opening up, whom you trust, and that guidance is unparalleled, extremely valuable. I have a friend years ago, he was dating for quite some time and he couldn't get a shidduch. He had a yedidus, he had a close connection with the Sefer Rebbe. He was dating for a number of years, he goes into the Sefer Rebbe, and the Sefer Rebbe says, we'll just call this person Reuven. He says, Reuven, tell me, what are the 10 things you're looking for in a girl and a spouse? He was so excited. He thought the Rebbe was going to say, you know, just pick, you know, one or two. 10 things, no problem. He sat down. The Rebbe was ever patient. And he penned a list of 10 things he was looking for in a spouse. Gevaldik, he put in the time, the Messinos. And he was so excited, presents the list to the Rebbe. The Rebbe says, Reuven, now I want you to cross off 6 of them. He got engaged the next month. True story. In fact, the hemshech of the story was, he loved the Sefer Rebbe so much, he had his ufruf in Square Town. And I got to tell you, that was an experience. First of all, it was the first time that I ever had pachah in my life. And it was the last time I will ever have pachah in my life. Someone said, no, don't worry, Rabbi, I find it looks like a piece of Yerushalmi kugel. It's not Yerushalmi kugel. If there's one thing you got out of tonight, stay away from pachah. So I had my pachah at the Sefer Kiddush with all the herring and everything else. You got to wonder where in the world it's coming from. And we had this, and we got there on Erev Shabbos, and we asked them, we said, what time is Shacharis the next morning? So they told us, well, Shacharis in Square Town is at 11 a.m. And we were a number of yeshiva guys coming from Yeshiva Sna Yisrael. 11 a.m. was a little too late. Forget Zman Kriya Shema. They didn't make Zman Tefillah again. Everyone asked them a Sora. I don't ask questions on the Sefer Rebbe. I don't ask questions on any Hasidus. When I need it, I come from Bells. I rely on my Hasidus roots when it's running a little past Shkia. And the end of the day, they told us Shacharis 11 a.m. I said, 11 a.m. Shacharis? Don't worry. Rabbonim, Choshe, young Rabbonim from Yisrael, don't worry. We have a Hashkomim in it. I said, Gevaldik, Rav Neuschloss. The renowned postik was alive at that time. They have Hashkomim in it. I said, great, when's Hashkomim? They said, 9 a.m. I said, anyone who makes fun of the White Shoulder, we start chakras at 9 a.m. I said, what do you mean? We dive in the same time as Hashkomim Square Town. So we daven at the 9 a.m. We got to have our own yechidus with the Rebbe. The Rebbe was Masana Kedushin. He told Ruvain, write 10 things on the list and now cross out 6 of them. And he got engaged a month later. But it can only happen because he trusted the Rebbe. Have that Rebbe. You want to have a Hasidish Rebbe. Whatever works. I tell people, you want to go to Uman for Rosh Hashanah. I don't understand the wives, but whatever works in your Yiddishkeit, whatever's going to help propel you to become the biggest, the best, the greatest Evan Hashem you could be, find that Rebbe, find the Rebbetzin, find someone, and confide in that person and seek guidance, neutral, impartial, objective, someone who loves you, who's concerned and cares about you. You got to have that in addition to the parents, and I humbly suggest in addition really to a dating coach, a life coach as well, perhaps as well. So moving on, we're seeing out the Yishmaya to the next point. We have to realize that everyone has a Vasheret. And we do have a Gemara that appears several times in Shas. Everyone knows it from Sota, Dav Beis, Amin Aleph, Amr, Yudah, Amr, Shmuel. It's also in Sanhedrin, Chav Beis, Amin Aleph, Mayakotin, Yichtesim, and Beis. Sometimes in the name of Rav, sometimes in the name of Shmuel. Habam Yom Kodim Yitzir Sabad, 40 days before the formation of the embryo. Bas Kol Yotzeis Melamala, El Machrizen, and what do they announce? They announce Bas Ploni Leploni. That's the Bas Kol that comes out. I have my own experience, by the way, with the Bas Kol. A couple of months ago, I was speaking in Rabbi Reisman's shul in Brooklyn for a Hakel program. And they say about me, sometimes I speak a little too fast. I don't know where they're getting it from. Someone in my shul did say, Rabbi Fana, you know, if you would talk as slowly as you daven and daven as fast as you speak, then we'd be in really good shape. So I was speaking around my Rabbi Reisman's shul, and I got into the subject matter. It was sugya and halacha, and I was very excited about it. And I think I went the first 7 minutes. I forgot to breathe. It was a problem. But we were going through a number of marmakomas, and then all of a sudden, the Ezra's noshit. A voice came out that said, Rabbi Feiner, can you please slow down a little bit? I said, I would, but I'm a shkich in the bas kol. I'm Avin Yavin. I'll go upon him. So I had a bas kol come out. The bas kol comes. Everybody has their own bas kol. And the bas kol says, the machriz and all the bas ploni leploni. Everyone's got him a shirt. And now, yes, as Rafuner said, you could go your whole life and you don't know with utmost certainty whether you actually married your Basher. And in the world of Kabbalah, some of Kabbalah talk about 7 Basher, some talk about as many as 200, 300 Basher. There's a lot in the world of Kabbalah about Basher. But when all is said and done, sof ko sof, everyone has to recognize everyone's got a Basher. Everyone has a Basher. Now, I have a close friend in Israel who had the schus of driving our Rosh Hashiva of Yaakov Weinberg Zatzal to a chasino. Many years ago, Rav Yaakov Weinberg has a bochur who was learning in Yeshivas Chaim Berlin under the tutelage, the leadership, of course, of the illustrious Rosh Yeshiva, and the Baal HaPach Yitzchak, Rav Yitzchak Kunner, Zechan Tzadik Levracha. And when it came time for Shaduchim, Rav Rudeman, who had one daughter, Chana, called up his Yedid in Chaim Berlin, Rav Hunder, and said to Rav Hunder, I need to know, I have a sense that my daughter's Vashert is going to come from Chaim Berlin. I need a recommendation. Who do you recommend to go out with my daughter? So Rav Weinberg, who ended up marrying this Chana, says that his Rosh Hashiva of Hunder said, I have only two people who are worthy at this stage right now to marry your daughter. And one of them is Yaakov Weinberg, and the other one is Shlomo Gorin. So Rav Yaakov Weinberg told my friend, he says, so Rav Rudeman only trusted Rav Hunder at the time, and Rav Hunder said, I only have two suggestions for your daughter. So Rav Yaakov Weinberg says, I know with certainty that I married my Basher. So my friend said, Rosh Hashiva, how do you know that you married your Basher? He says, because the only two people Chana really was going to go out with, me or Shlomo Gorin. And she decided to go out with me first. Baruch Hashem, it clicked right away. And we got married. And years later, I met Rosh Shlomo Gorin in Eretz Yisrael. I got to know him a little bit. And now that I know my wife, he's not for my wife. So I know I married my Basher. So not everyone is zochah to be Rav Yaakov Weinberg. He knew with almost certainty, with clarity, he married his Basher Gevalt. So we don't know for sure. Some ciphers that we can be here all night. But everyone's got a Basher. Not only does everyone have a Basher, But the Gemara tells us a moed kalten daf yud ches and beis min ha Torah u min ha neviim u min ha ksuvim minayin shemei Hashem isho leish. So the Gemara continues to cite sources bolstering, corroborating that we have proofs from every section of Tanakh that Hashem Yisborch is in control. Now, obviously, that beckons our scrutiny because everything that we do, Chulin Avzayin, Ein Odom, Noki, Fafilo, Etra, Katana, Mishol, Allah, Kei, Machriz, and Allah, Malala. Nobody moves even a slight finger unless Hashem Yisborch determined it to be so. Avistur is Ki'ilu Kaviyochul, the divine puppeteer. He's orchestrating events every single moment of every single day. Hashkocha protis klapei kol echa v'yachar. In the end of the day, what do you mean? The Gemara needs to bring proof that Hashem is making Shiduchim. That the Medrash embraces Rabbah, Huma Chunisha, Shiesh Rav Yossi, what is Hashem doing? After Sheshes and Embraces, he's Osik, he's involved, and making Shiduchim all day long. What's going on here? Explains the Sefer Matzah Tov in its introduction, that yes, Hashem Yisbar controls every facet of our lives. All the manifold, multifarious aspects of everyone's daily life, Hashem, Kaviyocho, the divine puppeteer pulling the strings every moment of the day. The Chiddush about Shiduchim is that it's so bolet. It is so clear, it is so obvious when it comes to Shiduchim, and that's what the Gemara wants to cite proofs, explains the Sefer Matzah Tov, that when you see two people get together and you wonder, how in the world did they find each other? And this one said they will never marry a girl older than he is. Yeah, I'm going to a chasana this week. The girl is several old years older than the chasana. Why? Because his mother saw her at a Shabbaton and watched her beautiful midos on display and said, this is the one for my son. The shidduch went through. It turns out they discovered only later that she was several years older. Son never would have gone out. Baruch Hashem, they're getting married this week. How many people that I know, I'll never marry a girl who's taller. I'll never marry a... And this Abishur is always orchestrating it. You see someone from Vienna or someone from Eretz Yisrael, someone from Los Angeles, someone from Florida. You wonder, who in the world put them together? It's so late. Hashem Yisbar can control every step of the way. It is so clear. That's what's unique about Shiduchim. There's no way to deny it. In fact, years ago, I heard an awesome vart from Avram Rivlin, the Mashgiach of Yeshivas Karev Yavne. Now, let's go back to that famous Gemara in Sota, Dav Beis Amud Aleph. And the Gemara says earlier, Rav Yochanan, Koshel Lezavkin Kekriyas Yamsuf. It's difficult to make a zivug like it was for Hashem Yisbar to split the sea. We all know that Chazal. And we grew up on it. Difficult. Nothing's hard for Hashem to do. That's it. Everything is set. All Hashem has to do is will it instantly. That's it. And it transpires. What in the world is pshat? And we understand. Kosher lezavgan. There's nothing that's difficult. Explain Rav Rulin. What a beautiful, what a gorgeous part. And he said that there was only one thing difficult for Hashem Yisbarach in the course of Kriyas Yamsa. To split the sea, it was a piece of cake. You know what's difficult? It was a miracle that was so bolet, that was so glaring, so blatant for the world to see. Chazal tell us, the water split all over the world. Everybody knew. Shamam Avim Yir Gozen. Everyone heard. They trembled. Everybody knew about it. You knew that it was God. How can it come to the extent that the divine was so manifest? We were able to point Zekeli Van Veil. This is my God. I will glorify him. Everyone was zochet to the vision, the mechilta. Rosa Shimcha Alayam Ashalur Yecheskel Muzi Yishar Navim. The lowly maids are it. Everybody was privy. Everybody saw it. So you know it was difficult for Hashem to conceal himself. To do Kriyas Yamsuf, piece of cake. To conceal, to hide his presence in the process, that was difficult. Because it was so clear. And even when Hashem Yisbarach performs miracles, yes, on behalf of Klal Yisrael throughout our history, but still, always there has to be room for Bechira Chavshus. He doesn't want to preclude the opportunity to still exercise, enable, empower you to have free will. So you have to still have a way out. It was so difficult by Kriyas Yamsuf. That's the Koshel Lezavka. Explain Rav Rulin, that's Kekriyas Yamsuf, that's Zivugim. You see two people get together and you wonder who in the world put them together. How in the world did this happen? They're so different. They're so families, the backgrounds, unbelievable. There's only one explanation, that's Hashem Yisbar. Hashem put it together. There's no way to explain it. We have to trust him. I'm not here to give Musar. You have your own Rabbanim. I'm here to give myself Musar. One of my favorite Ramaylich Biderman Vorts, who in the world doesn't love Ramaylich Biderman? There's one Rav I want to hug and dance with right here, right now, Ramaylich. Heilige Ramaylich. HaMelech has so many gorgeous remarks, and one of my favorites, he says, you know, in the end of the day, we really have two questions in life. Question number one, Lama, why is this happening to me? Lama, why is this happening to me? Why is Shidduchim not going as easy as I had hoped and aspired and longed for? Why are all these difficulties occurring in my life? Lama, why is this happening to me? Question number one. Question number two, Ma'iya, what's going to be with life? What's going to be? When am I going to get married? When am I going to have children? When am I going to set up shop? Am I going to go to Tzomayiyah? What does the future hold in store? Now, we don't know what our future holds in store, but we know who holds our future. HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Those two questions bandied about every aspect of our lives. Lama, why is this happening? Why? And Ma'iyah, what's going to be? Explain Ramaylech, Lama's Gematria 75. Ma'iyah, likewise, is Gematria 75. And you know the answer to both of those paramount to life questions? The answer is one succinct word. Bitochon, Gematria 75. The answer to all the Lamas and the answer to all the Ma'iyahs is what? Habateach Bashem Chesin Yisovenu. Everyone sitting here, you all have a Bashir. It's guaranteed. Yes, Rachman and Litzlan, their children, people, not well. Other people, Rachman, they go their whole lives. Everybody has a Bashir, guaranteed. And if you don't taste it now, you will get it in the next world. But everyone has a Bashir. And that's what Hashem is doing all day long. What does he expect? Just be tough. That'll answer all our lamas and all our ma'iyas. V'somechan Hashem. Rav Moshe Wolfson, the Baal Emunas Yitzchak, he writes two places, Emunas Yitzchak, Parshas Kisavo, also in the Yantav of Sukkot, he says, based on the Hershian rule of phonetic cognates, words in Lashon HaKadosh that sound alike are so often interrelated. Simcha sounds very similar to what? To be Somech. Because explains Rav Wolfson, if you're Somech on Hashem, you'll always be b'simcha. And you know when you feel depressed, it reminds me of Sam Levinson back in his 1960s bestseller, that Jewish comedian in his book, Everything But Money. He quipped years back, he said, when you feel yourself distanced from God, the first question you got to ask yourself is, who moved? God didn't go anywhere. You feel netzav because you feel netzav. You feel sad, downcast, and depressed. And you want to go into your little cocoon, put on your favorite Mordechai Shapiro music, go under your down blanket, take out your pillow, you just want to cry, the date didn't go well, when in the world am I going to get married? Mama, why is this happening to me? Another date, another crazy guy, chalk another one up on the chart. When are things going to happen? My year, when am I going to get married? When am I going to have the white shoes so I can get married? No discount anyone here tonight. Clean another. I watch. When is my chassid? You know what the answer is? It's called bitachon. It's called avatech Hashem chassid run. It's cool. If you're so mech on Hashem, you'll always be besimcha. But if you feel netzav, it's because you feel netzav. Be so mech on Hashem. That's it. Hashlech al Hashem yahavcha v'yichak alecha. Let me tell you my favorite, the Rebbetzin, Teva Kamenetsky Vark. This is not Rosh Shmuel. This is Rosh Shmuel's Rebbetzin Zechona Levracha. This is the best part of the night. If you lost me until now, you're not going to forget this one. Rebbetzin Tema Kamenetsky. David HaMelech tells us in Tehillim, Kapitul Nun Hei Pasuk Chav Gimel, Hashalech HaLashem Yehav Chavu Yechak Alech. Cast your worries onto God, and He will support you, He will sustain you. Ask the Rebbetzin of Philadelphia Yeshiva. Hashalech. That's an appropriate terminology. Here, God, here's a watch. Catch. Catch? Would you do that to your Rav? Would you do that to your Rebbetzin? You know, imagine, you know, Rav walks out into the football. Here, Rav, catch the football. Right? He catch the safer. What do you mean catch? Hashalech, throw? Ask the Rebbetzin, tell him, you don't throw something to a Rav, to a Rebbe, to a Rebbetzin. You certainly, Achas, come, don't throw something to Hashem. Hashalech, cast, throw to him. How about a lotion of Nesina? Wouldn't that be far more appropriate? Far more respectable? Nesina. Hadabar anita miyad liyad. Go ahead and hand something to Hashem. And Rebbetzin Tema Kamenetsky answered her own question. A child who so fully trusts his parent will say, okay, Tati, Abba, Daddy, I'm falling backwards now, catch me. I don't see that parent, but I know if that parent's around, that parent's going to do anything and everything to absolutely catch me. I'll fall backwards because I know I can rest assured I'm absolutely going to be rescued just in the nick of time. Explained Rebbetzin Tema Kamenetsky, when you hand something to someone, you still haven't fully let go of it. You're still holding on. Here, I want to give you a safer. Say, yes, there's a point in time you're going to be holding on to the safer, but until the very last minute, I'm also holding on to one of the ends. And only then do I release my grip when I know it's resting secured and safe in your hands. That's a dover that we would call a nesina. But you know what hashlech is? Hashlech is, I'm throwing myself over to you. That's it. I'm letting go. How shall I call Hashem? You want Hashem to sustain you? You want Hashem to give you a call through this insane, crazy parsha of Shiduchim? This world of Shidduch resumes? I don't know. I dated 30 years ago. Shidduch resumes? Pictures? We never had any of this. I don't know where it came from. But you know what? It's the same HaKadosh Baruch Hu who's putting the Zivugim together. Explain Rebbetzin Tamek Kamenetsky. Hashalech al Hashem Yahav Chavu Yechak Alecha. Give over all your worries, all your concerns, all your questions. Throw them to, and if the Ribbono Shel Olam sees that you're ready to throw them to Him, to really let go and say, Hashem, I am Somech on You, Mameila, I'll always be Besimcha. I'm casting all my worries, that's it, I'm letting go. Hashem, You're in control. If Hashem's in control, that's it, you can go to sleep at night. We can't feel that pressure of Shidduchim, you have a Basheret. And it's going to be the right time and the right place. I remember I had two friends, and there you saw they had both gone out with over 150 girls. Whoa. Okay. They're good guys. Trust me, they're good guys. One guy came back to yeshiva. He says, I'm running out of girls to date. Number 147 was number 3. Number 138 was number 17. And the end of the day, they each got married to a girl that they had dated years previous. To one of those numbers, one of the early numbers. One actually went back to, I think it was number 2. One went back to like number 11. And they each dated over 150 girls. Because sometimes it's the right person, it's not the right time. Everything is the Zman HaNochan V'Haroi. Eibishter plans it so perfectly. If you trust Him, you know you've got your Basheret. And he or she, it's going to come at the right time. But you got to trust Him. You can't feel that pressure. So what do we do in the interim? You got to keep busy. I always tell people in Shiduchim, I said, never let it occupy the forefront of your mind that it's taking over your life. Life is not just about Shiduchim. Yes, I know Isaac Asimov in his Book of Facts, in ancient Greece, they used to count a girl's age only after she got married. That's, imagine a girl got married at 30 years old. She's now 1 year old today. That's it. They counted the age of a person after you got married. We don't work like that. And Eved Hashem is not just about marriage. And Eved Hashem is, how is your davening? How's your limud haTorah? How's your asiyas haMitzvos? How's your tzedakah? How's your chesed? How's your tshuva, your tefillah? Tzedakah, avir, nesuah, gezeirah. How are you as an Eved Hashem? That's, we don't define you whether you're married or not. We don't define a yid whether you have children or not. We don't define a yid whether you're fully capable, proficient, whether you have all your senses. A yid is a yid because you're endowed with itself and Elokim. And you have a job and you have a mission to do in this world. And that mission is not just about getting married. Yes, mitzvahs b'ravuah. In the end of the day, get busy. Get busy with a good job, a job that gives you sipuk ha-nefesh. Get busy with learning. Have other goals, other aspirations in your life. I just met today. I stopped by a simcha. I met a wonderful young woman. We know her from a certain situation, I don't want to give any hints. In the end of the day, she's not the youngster. She's been dating for a while. She told us what she did recently in the Sukkis. Unbelievable chesed, unbelievably gratifying, fulfilling, satisfying. You wouldn't believe what it's unbelievable what she did. She's making her youth, capitalizing at every moment of her time. Yes, she wants to get married, but it's not dominating every single waking moment. The people that I see, it's mamish, whether it's male or female, they're getting somewhat depressed, and it's understandable, and I do my best to commiserate, to empathize. Don't define yourself, whether I'm married here, whether I'm not married, how my friends are doing. We don't look around. We have our own unique relationship with the Borei Olam. And I want to have a fulfilling life, and I can, even until I get married. I'm going to work. I'm going to find my career aspirations. I'm going to be engaged in chesed acts and stokel chesed asim tovim. I'm going to be an amazing family member and friends. The list goes on and on. I got to keep busy. I can't feel that pressure. I don't have to get married tomorrow. I've had already two people in my office in the last 2 years who came to me with major shalom bias problems. Rabbi Feiner, I had a younger sibling who got married. I felt the pressure and I rushed to basically just get married to the next girl that I dated. And now I have charata that I dated the wrong person. We don't have to rush. We want to get busy. We want to feel satisfied, engaged in limud haTorah, asiyas haMitzvos. Find something that gives you sipuk. And don't define yourself whether you're married or not. There's the right time, there's the right place. There's the right spouse, and Hashem is going to put you together just to keep davening and davening for the right time. So allow me to close one of my favorite stories, and maybe you heard it already, and I shared it once at a venue. Someone sent me an email, Rabbi Fine, I'm not sure it's a true story. I said, you know what, maybe, I don't know if it's a true story or not. But someone did tell me, I was going in a few years ago to Z Berman, my favorite store on Central Avenue. They know me very well. I'm a good customer. Z Berman bookstore, Z Berman Sfarim, I'm walking in one night, because I try to find off times when there aren't going to be too many people there. And because I used to pick the afternoon of the weekdays, and I figured everyone's working, everyone's busy. So I went in one afternoon, and I had all the time to explore all the new Sfarim. So I came home and said, Rabbi Feiner, this is great. No one else is in the store now but me and you. Can I ask you all my questions? So now I try and go right before 10 o'clock at night. Right, well, I shouldn't have said that. Right before they close, he keeps it open for me as I'm going in close to 10 o'clock at night. Someone says, Rabbi Feiner, you got to hear the story. It's an amazing story. It just happened. Someone was at the Shemar Brachos last night, told me the story. You got to use it. I said, on condition, don't tell it to Rabbi Teller yet. Don't tell it to Rabbi Crow. Don't let it go to print until I use it in the night show. So Baruch Hashem, I got it in. Unbelievable story. You probably heard it already. It's about Dolphinsvi. Someone got up at the Shemar Brachos and he introduced himself as the second grade Rebbe of David the Chosin right in front of him. And he got up and he told everyone that I want you to know that when I was David's second grade Rebbe, on one day in recess, I come outside and I see that David, instead of playing soccer, baseball, basketball, he was there on the sidelines with a pocket to heal him, and he was mamash zogging to heal him. He was saying to heal him, tears cascading down his face. He was engaged, saying to him, I said, David, what's going on? He said, my mother's pregnant, and I already have three sisters. Enough with the girls already. I need to have a baby brother. So he says, I'm giving up my recess to David that I should have a baby brother. He says, wow, he's so impressed. And he looks and he sees David's friend Svi is sitting right adjacent to him. He says, Svi, what are you doing here? He says, well, my mother's not pregnant right now, but David's mother is, and I love David. He's my best friend. I'm doubting that he should have a new baby brother. Okay? Wow, second grader, 7 years old at the time. So Rebbe comes out the second day, and the scene repeats itself. There's David, and he's got to tell him. David, I guess him, oh, my mother didn't give birth yet, Rebbe. She's still, we're waiting, but I'm doubting Hashem, please let it be a boy. I need a baby brother. I got to play. I got to beat somebody up. I got to have a basketball partner. I need a baby brother. And there's Svi, and he's crying right alongside David, and he's sucking to heal him. Unbelievable. 3 days in a row, Rebbe comes out. Day number three, yet again, the scene unfolds. Unbelievable. Three consecutive days. Finally, the Rebbe comes out. Day number four, he sees David's on the basketball court. Mama swish, bank shot. He's in the zone. He's hitting everything. He's got a smile ear to ear. Says, David, I guess your mother gave birth to a baby boy. All right, so you have a new younger brother. He says, no, Rebbe, it's actually a girl. Says, so why are you so happy? He says, I'll tell you the truth, I was really, really miserable. But I went to the hospital to visit my mommy, and I saw my new sister. I said, you know what? She's cute. I'll keep her. So Rebbe, she's a cute little girl. I'll keep her as my sister. I'm in the zone. It's great. Life is great. And there's Tzvi crying still on the sidelines. And the Rebbe looks to Tzvi and says, Tzvi, David's so happy. Why are you looking so depressed? Says, Rebbe, I gave up three recesses. I don't care how cute David's new sister is. I gave up three recesses to daven to Hashem that he should give David a baby brother. And Hashem didn't listen to me. He says, it's a good question. You got to realize Hashem is always listening to every tefillah. I taught in Eish HaTorah for a number of years. I remember Noach Weinberg shared, this is a parenthetical point, and the story of Noach Weinberg shared, that years ago he had lunch in Los Angeles with Larry King, the famous CNN interviewer, celebrity. And he says, Larry, come on, you grew up, you know traditional Judaism, you know Yiddish guy, why'd you give up Judaism? He says, I'll tell you why, Rabbi Weinberg, I grew up in Brooklyn. And you see, I was a diehard, a rabid Dodgers fan. I love the Brooklyn Dodgers. And they always play the New York Yankees. And except for that one Sandy Koufax here, they always lost to the New York Yankees. I said, I'm davening to Hashem. And I'm davening. He's not listening to me. The Yankees always beat the Dodgers. If God doesn't listen to me, I'm not going to be from. He says, don't you understand, Larry? I also grew up in Brooklyn and at the same time as you, but I was a diehard Yankees fan. And I daven for the Yankees to always beat the Dodgers. God was listening. I just daven harder than you did. So back to David. So David's great. He's awesome. He's having the day of his life. And Svi is miserable, crying on the sidelines. And he says, I gave up three recesses. Hashem doesn't listen to me. You know, it's like the famous comedian quipped years ago. I tried praying to God for a bicycle. I saw it didn't work. So I stole my neighbor's bike. And then I asked God for forgiveness then. So Svi says, Rebbe, I gave up three recesses. Hashem's not listening to my tefillahs. Says, Svi, it's a good question. have to think about it. So the Rebbe says, Avaisai, I have right here David and Tzvi in front of me. And we're at the Sheva Brachos, you see, Tzvi now is 27 years old. And his Kala is none other than David's younger sister, the girl that he davened for 27 years ago. Now, can you imagine Tzvi was 20 years old, came back from yeshiva, came back from Mir Brisk, YU, wherever it is, all great yeshivas, comes back and he says, okay, 20, 21, back in my time, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky said, 23 was like the Shmona Esrei Lechup and the Mishnah Novus and Hechav Aleph. It's 23, now they say it's 22, now they say it's 21, it keeps getting early. Obviously, we're going to start making Shidduchim already in the crib, the way things are going. So, 21 years old, he comes back, he says, I'm ready, I started Shidduchim, what's going on? And Hashem Yisborch is on his Kisei Kavod, and Kaviyachol Hashem is laughing, saying, Tzvi, you're 21. Your Kala is 1 year old right now. What do you want? It's in high school right now. What do you want? Tzvi davened for David's mother to give birth. And she gave birth to none other than his own Kala. She was 20, he was 27. And he davened for her in second grade. Now, I'm not telling you to tell all kids today, take out the tillum, give up recess, and start davening already in second grade for a shidduch. But when someone came to Rabbi Yoshev, and she had been dating for a while, and she said, Rebbe, I've been davening, I must have said already 10,000 tefillos. He says, how do you know Hashem doesn't want 10,001? Just keep davening. Because you've got a bashert. You've got an awesome chosim who's going to bring it to Shlemos. Make that list of 10, cross out perhaps 6, maybe cross out 7. Find out what you really need in life. Rabbi Aaron Feldman used to say, I've married off many children, many grandchildren, Ein Eklach, and I've seen Midos. If you have great Midos and shared goals, aspirations, those are the two key ingredients. Midos Tovos and shared goals, aspirations. But again, you'll leave that between you and your Mora Derech, your Rav, your Rebbetzin. But just keep davening. There's one Eitz I can give you in life, and not always be happy. Life is crazy. Life is insane. And it's not just about Shidduchim, which is a crazy, nutty parsha. And I know since we Finkel told a close friend of mine, it's hard to steig, to really grow and really think that you're steiging gewaldic in Ruchnius and the parsha Shidduchim. But what? Get busy. Get busy with all the things that give you a gewaldic asipik in your life. Trust Hashem Yisbarach. He's got one handpicked for you. And that person's going to come at the right time. Just keep davening. Keep davening. Keep going out. Have those dates, as I was told by, because I think my name is on the back of the box, perfect matches. And yes, take your perfect matches and play the perfect matches on the date and get to know the other party. But at the end of the day, if Hashem wants it to happen, it's going to happen. The Chozen Ishim with this will close. B'li Neder. I'm not saying a shir tonight. Baruch Hashem, we'll get an end. The Chozen Ishim was once asked by someone, he says, I have a neighbor. And I didn't put the neighbor on my resume, but this neighbor doesn't like me. And every single time someone calls for my daughter, this neighbor, they figure they call the neighbor, and the neighbor messes up every shidduch. Chazan has said, don't worry. He says, Rebbe, what do you mean, don't worry? He says, no, just do your best to maintain shalom, peace, harmony, and accord with your neighbor. Don't worry. He says, well, Rebbe, what's going to be a shidduch? He says, when God wants it to happen, it's going to happen. And the very next week, his daughter went out with the guy. They called every other neighbor on the block except for the neighbor who only had bad things to say. And that shidduch went through. And the person came back to the Chozen Ish, you're a Navi. He says, I'm not a Navi. When Hashem wants it to go through, ain't nothing going to get in his way. And when it's the time, and Hashem says, this is your bashert, nothing's going to stop it. Ah, you didn't find a pair of shoes that day. Ah, you lost your makeup. Ah, you got stuck in 4 hours in traffic on the Van Wicked, on the FDR. I did it. If Hashem wants it to happen, nothing's going to get in his way. Just love him, live with him, just keep davening, davening, and davening. And trust him. Keep busy, get busy. He's got a bashur for you. Be patient, get that rav, get that rebbetzin. And emet Hashem, it's all going to work out fantastically well. The car of mamash emet Hashem, because Mashiach Tzidkenu is coming. And you're going to go with your bashurts. Emet Hashem, Shari Chesed, no more apartments available. But there'll be plenty of things opening up in East Jerusalem, emet Hashem, with the Mashiach Tzidkenu. So you'll all have an apartment for you, your awesome chassan, your awesome kala, Get ready, get psyched. We're going back with Rabbi Teller Shlita to Yerushalayim HaKadosh. With Pius Gold Tzedek, Mashiach Tzedekeinu, Hashem Shem Malach, Kom Hashem Lez Libchem. Klai Yisrael is the best, and the Eibishter is the best of the best. Trust Him, love Him. It's all going to be great. Have a good Tavach and a Shavuot.
Okay, on the subject of Shiduchim, I might be able to offer some advice of modest significance. But who am I to place my head between Shnei Harim? I'll suffice by premiering a film that we produced not precisely for this demographic, but the three messages will resonate nonetheless. Writing and directing and casting and producing and funding a film is not a facile endeavor by any metric. Yet we did it because, even though I'm 27, for nearly five decades, we've been talking about what needs to be done. Time has finally come to demonstrably convey a message. Chassid went to the Rebbe and said, Rebbe, I want you to daven my wife should die. What? Yeah, I want you to daven. What are you talking about? He said, listen here. I'm a very poor man. If I have to give her a divorce, it'll cost me a fortune. To give her a get, it'll cost a fortune. But if she dies, it doesn't cost me a penny. The Rebbe said, I have a better idea. Chazal teach that if you pledge money to tzedakah and you don't deliver, within a year your spouse will die. He said, that's brilliant. So it was right before Rosh Hashanah. He pledged 500 rubles. They gave him after. And they came to Gabay Manson. He said, I'm not giving. But you're not, I'm not giving. That happened Rosh Hashanah time. Yeah. Half a year later, it's already Purim. He said, Rebbe. It's already Purim. She hasn't even sneezed yet. Like, I forgot to tell you, it only works if you don't want it to work. Now what am I supposed to do? Go give the tzedakah. He said, oh yes. Not enough to talk about it, you have to do something. So we really want to do something regarding Shiduchim. I've tried so many things, even putting this together tonight. So it even got us to put together a film. My brief career as a filmmaker has taught me that when Jewish audiences see credits, they run for their lives. So logic, however, is if you sat through for 24 minutes and pace it another 41 seconds, there's some very cool outtakes. More significantly, the carbohydrates are only coming out after the film is over. So film comes for men and for women. I just want to thank everyone very much for coming, really very much for coming. And Yemir Tashem, I echo all the wishes. Shavua Tov, Sro Tovot, Shana Tova, and Yonechet. Aryeh.
Double burger, lamb burger, veal burger, turkey burger, chicken burger.
You kind of lost more than veal, turkey.
Even more, hold on a second. Asian chicken burger, short rib burger, pretzel burger, quinoa, black bean burger, even if you want that.
Come on, I'm not getting a vegetarian stuff, come on.
We can order a regular pizza pie, boring. A large pie, a little overwhelming. We can get a bagel pizza, that's like a lot of carbs. Vegan pizza?
No.
What? Who's vegan? Nobody. Wood-fired pizza? Oven-worked pizza?
Is it edible?
Ordinary crust? That sounds very appetizing. Untraditional crust?
Ooh.
Ultra thin?
Why would anyone get ultra thin?